So I started I bullshitted my way into politics and radio and but even then it's a talent, it's a skill that you have to develop. So yeah, everybody
you're
likes
right, dude. I mean, like right now, I'm like, I want to get out of my fucking job and do this goddamn radio show. And if that's all I could do, I'd be a fucking happy guy, dude.
Right, because you get to sit on the couch for 24 hours a day and beat off instead of actually, you know, interacting with people and having to deal with their bullshit.
Information is free.
The law. Oh,
Johnny Rocket Munchpad. And now, here's Johnny!
Hey, it's Johnny Rocket here at the Johnny Rocket Launchpad. Always launching ideas in your direction, America's only rock and roll libertarian radio show. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Kurt Goddamn Nelson.
Fucking A, Johnny. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, man. You know what? It's great that we're here because it's about liberty on this fucking show.
That's right.
I'm swearing. Why? Excessively? Because I can.
Really?
We're a podcast and we're on the internet radio station, so they don't really care. So,
yeah, man, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And iTunes doesn't really care either.
No, as long as you say you're explicit, you're fine. You're good to go. You know what, Kurt? How you been doing?
You know, man, I'm doing good. Doing good. Busy as usual, but, you know, busy's good in this line. Well, in any line of business, really.
And guess what, man? I have just completed the Here it is. I've just completed. Now, hear me out. I have to edit it, and I still have to finish that. I finished my first comic book in 20 years, the goddamn Liberty Force comic book, and it's about us.
You don't mean you finished reading.
No, I mean, I finished drawing and writing.
And writing. And penning. Whatever. You penned.
Well, I had help, of course, but for the most part, yeah, the whole fucking thing.
You're the man, brother. You're the man.
After 6 months of my life, every weekend, and Heather going, fuck you, Johnny. Why are you in there working? But yeah, I'm done, dude.
You know what?
I'm so happy.
What are you going to do when Marvel picks it up and they're like, we need the next episode next week?
They won't, because it's a libertarian comic book. They would be like, this would be kind of offensive to some people.
Wouldn't it?
It wasn't. There's no swearing in it. Just the ideas are kind of
they're libertarian. Ooh.
It is kind of scary though.
Right.
No, I mean, it really is. We talk about the non-aggression principle and things like that, and we throw it in the comic book. So check out libertyforcecomic.com. You guys will dig it, and it's great, and we're doing pre-sales now, so it should be available like mid-July ish I'm throwing an ish
that's
in there.
Right on, man.
Because it's coming from China, so I'm doing
you got it done on the expensive special Chinese paper.
Yes, I did.
Nice
papyrus. Or something
very
like
nice.
That. Yes, it's very cool. And so, like, but it's literally coming back from China on a boat.
Is it one of those little Chinese boats?
It totally is, dude. With a little steam coming out the top. Yeah.
On a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Man, I couldn't help myself.
No, you're right. I was thinking of like the song, A Slow Boat to China.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, God damn, that's
this
long.
This is a slow boat from China.
Yeah, no different. Shit. Check out libertyforcecomic.com. Kurt, we have a badass guest.
Yes, we do.
You know what? And this is a guest that is long overdue just because he's been a friend of mine for at least a year and a half.
We've been talking about having him on the show for a long time.
We have, actually. Just get fucking sidetracked and all this other crap. But you ready for this guest, Kurt?
Tell me about him, brother.
Chris Spangle is the web director for a nationally syndicated morning show. He previously worked in politics for many years as a producer at a news station, WXNT, and then as an executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana. He went on to work in marketing for the Englehart Group and Advocates for Self-Government. He is now the web director of a nationally syndicated show. He is the publisher and editor of We Are Libertarians, a news site and podcast that covers national and Indiana politics from a libertarian perspective. He is the founder of the We Are Libertarians Radio Network, which brings you podcasts about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He also served as the chairman of the board of Free Enterprise Schools, a nonprofit dedicated to expanding school choice. His favorite charity is Rupert's Kids. I welcome here on the Launchpad, give it up for Chris Spangle!
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah!
Johnny, big, beautiful bastard.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to have you here. Because I was just thinking, Roger Paxton was like an amazing guest here on the show. Mark Claire is always great. But man, now like the circle is complete with Chris Spangle.
The League of Liberty Podcasters, as we call ourselves.
That's an inside joke, though.
Yeah, I didn't know about your show until I talked to Mark Claire. Mark Claire and I have similar audience, similar type shows, and we just got to talking and realized that he and I had a ton in common. And he goes, "Have you ever heard of the Johnny Rocket Launchpad?" And I was like, "No, what is that?" And I listened to my first episode. I think it was with Todd Seavey about his book on libertarianism, and I was just distraught because it was so well produced, it was so well executed. I was like, "Well, these guys just have done it. They're fantastic. Nobody can do a better libertarian podcast than this." So I didn't give up. I made us better. So we're now back to being the best.
Well done, sir.
Well done. Free market capitalism right there.
You guys are number two. And I'm so happy to be here. I love you guys. And we got together with Roger Paxton and the Lava Flow, and we've been cross promoting for about a year now. And I don't know about you guys, but it's great. I hear all the time anecdotally from our audience that they heard about our podcast from your podcast or the other two podcasts.
And, right on.
I love this networking that we've got.
Yeah, like, and here's the thing, man. Like, we're like a team. It's not like we don't want the other guy to succeed. We're like, please listen to him. If you like his shit better, please do it, because we're spreading liberty one way or another.
Well, and we've all got a different flavor. You know what I mean?
If you're a drunk and you like naked girls, listen to the Launchpad.
Right.
You know, if you like video games, listen to Chris Spangle. I'm kidding.
No, no. If you're drunk and you can't get girls, then you should listen to We Are Libertarians. All right. I think it comes from an abundance mindset, and that's really one of the foundational principles of libertarianism, is that there's enough for everybody, and we could view each other as competition and trash each other and fight.
Nah.
It just seems more realistic to... I trash Roger Paxton, but that's because he's one of those Liberty LARPers out in the Free State Project.
Okay.
But I do it out of love.
No, but I mean, like, all you guys are great people.
Likewise. I mean, everybody is dedicated to their show and making it grow and getting bigger, and I just love partnering with you guys.
No, and us, the honor is all around the table, man.
It is.
I didn't expect to get my dick sucked so hard. I love this. I'm coming on every...
Hey, you're welcome, man. You're welcome.
Pat, we just try to make everyone happy here, because this is about booze and happiness and getting your dick sucked by Kurt.
Right.
Fuck you, man.
I have learned two things working as a professional web nerd, basically. My job is web director by day, and then I do the We Are Libertarian stuff by night. And the internet, basically, it comes down to two things. People want to laugh, or they want to come. And I can only make you laugh because I'm 280 pounds of man, and I have a very hard time making myself come. So,
you know, that's a good way to boil it down, though. You know, people want to laugh, or they want to come. You know,
that's funny that you're right. I mean, really, it boils down to those two things. Or they want to get drunk.
It's usually not both. People don't want to laugh and come. Those are two different, you know.
I've never seen anyone laugh and come at the same time.
No, it's never. It's two different things. No.
You should be at my house about every Saturday night.
Fucking love this guy.
All right, so what we do here on the show is we usually talk about liberty. We're kind of failing at that. But let's just try. And if we go off in another direction, I don't give a shit. Let me at least try to steer the boat in the right direction.
Thanks, Johnny.
So you say, like, one of the things that you're kind of an advocate for is being a pragmatic libertarian. What the fuck do you mean by that? So when somebody says, I'm a pragmatic libertarian, I'm a pragmatic Republican or a Democrat, or to me, that means more like a moderate. What does it mean to you, Chris?
One of the foundational principles of our show, like We Are Libertarians, is about examining current events from a libertarian perspective. And so you and Mark Claire and Roger Paxton do a great job of talking about the destination and the foundational principles of libertarianism. You guys do a lot of current events as well, but there's always it's much more directed at, you know, like the first episode, Todd Seavey is a great explanation of what the libertarian philosophy is. And in the libertarian movement at large, we have a lot of great people like the Cato Institute, like Tom Woods, who explain what the libertarian world would look like, what those foundational principles are. And when I was at the Libertarian Party of Indiana and when I was at the Advocates for Self-Government, I realized there was a need within the libertarian movement to talk about practical issues, the issues that people are worried about in their daily lives and how we can apply libertarian principles to policy that we can enact now. And that's what we really try to focus on at We Are Libertarians, because we can sit there and talk about anarchy versus minarchy all day long, but that's sort of a circle to me.
Right.
It is something that is interesting to libertarians, but if we were to go out and start knocking on doors as candidates, it flops. I mean, and we as libertarians, especially in the Libertarian Party, they love to do this, is run a candidate that bases their entire campaign around the libertarian philosophy instead of the issues that voters care about. And it's a much tougher sell. And this is why I think that the party has had such a tough time for the last 50 years, is that they're asking people to change their entire political philosophy in order to adopt their campaign, instead of looking at it and going, okay, this is more of a cafeteria situation where people walk in and say, all right, I'm pro-life or I'm pro-choice. I'll take this. I like this about this candidate. And I am certainly not a moderate. I have fairly radical libertarian views. I would consider myself a minarchist. I've had Walter Block on our show explain private courts to me, and I just can't. If Walter Block can't get me to change my mind, I just can't get there. But I still believe in private police forces, private roads. I mean, I see all of the benefit. But at the end of the day, what voters are looking for from us as libertarians are practical implementations of the libertarian philosophy through policy. And there aren't enough libertarians talking about that kind of stuff and saying, if you want to make the world a more libertarian place, then here's how we should view this legislation that is currently being debated in the House. And so I as much as I would love to just talk about the libertarian world as we all would like to design it, I just don't think that is something that a lot of people can grab onto.
Well, Chris, and here's the thing, though, too. When you're running for city council, I'm just giving you an example, right? Let's just say you're an individual in Indiana, right, which you are. But let's just say you're a guy in Indiana and you're running for city council. You know, why would you have the abortion issue up or the border issue up or all these things that are really outside that scope of that position? You know what I mean? So it might make you look like a nut job to the common person. Like, why are they fucking talking about wars and shit? He's running for city council. Like, you'll have these people like, you know, and I believe in that we shouldn't declare war on other countries. I'm like, that doesn't matter about your position. I see your point. You're talking about issues in itself. How can we make this community better? My question to you, though, ultimately would be, can you just be a libertarian and maybe not even have an L behind your name?
I think the people who say that I'm not a libertarian, those are the most libertarian among us, those people who won't be identified as libertarian.
Yeah, usually. Also, yeah, exactly.
They're also assholes. They're cunts, basically. So,
they are not assholes. They are cunts. Yeah.
Right. No, I'm too cool to be a libertarian. No, I think that I am not a person who forces people to pick sides. Even when I was the executive director, the full-time executive director of the State Libertarian Party here in Indiana, you know, it was 2008 to 2012, and that was prime time for Ron Paul. And, you know, it just always seems silly to me that Libertarian Party people would shit on Ron Paul. It's like, Ron Paul's doing an amazing thing for the libertarian movement by being a Republican. Let's celebrate that. We're doing our thing, too. I don't think that we have to choose and that you have to choose even to be involved in politics. I mean, frankly, partisan politics and the think tank world, I was a part of that. It didn't seem to be something that I was well suited to and that I thought was something that I was good at. And so I switched into media and We Are Libertarians and grew that. And that has been much more successful. So I'm taking my gifts and talents and applying them to the libertarian movement. And I think everybody needs to do that, whether it's as a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or fuck voting. It's tyranny of the state.
I always thought Ron Paul was more libertarian than the libertarian guys.
In a lot of ways, yeah. I think I love Ron Paul, and he's a huge reason I'm a libertarian. But
Me too.
I have always disliked the cult of personality that the people around Ron Paul have. Uh-huh. And I hate that when I always got irritated by Ron Paul Republicans shitting on our libertarian candidates because we were supposed to support Republicans and Ron Paul, but we weren't allowed to have our own campaign. So, you know, that's a little bit of a tangent.
Sure.
Again, it's just everybody get along and respect everybody else's contributions to liberty.
Nice. Chris, I love hearing that your show is about not necessarily where we, where we want to be, but how do we want to get there? And one thing that I often ask the question, what do we do? What are the steps? Do we need to put a libertarian president, in the seat and work from the top down? Do we need to put a bunch of libertarian people in seats at the state level and work from the bottom up? Do we just need to say, fuck all that and educate people? So, you're talking about voters. How do you feel that we need to, we are where we are today with dumb fuck as a president today, and came from maybe the worst socialist president that we've ever had before him. Now, riding on those heels, how do we get to where we need to be? Is there a specific set of steps?
I mean, the answer to all of that is yes.
fantastic.
Sure. Yeah.
The fact is I think that one of the things that we talk often, because again, people want to understand the facts about the news and what they can believe and what they can't believe, and that's what we try to do. And so often we're quick to point out that Libertarian Party people and Libertarian Republicans even need to look hard at how Donald Trump is treated and how ineffective he is, because he doesn't have those. He wasn't a part of the swamp, and he's hated by the swamp and permanent Washington and the deep state. They're all after him. And I think that a Libertarian president would be in the same position. Mm-hmm. Had Gary Johnson, by some miracle, been elected president, Gary Johnson would be in worse shape than Donald Trump in terms of effectiveness. And that was our criticism of Gary Johnson. Although I proudly voted for him, I fully recognize that he was not prepared for the job. He was probably less prepared in terms of policy points and understanding the scope of the job than Donald Trump in some ways. So that is because we have a lack of a ground game. And I always would talk to candidates about running for smaller offices and starting small. And a lot of times there's too much ego involved in people who want to run for office, especially libertarian mm-hmm. candidates, because, I'm going to run for governor. It's like, well, you've never run before. And so much of the Libertarian Party is it's amateurs playing a pro game. And there's and anytime that we try to play a pro game, people are run out of the party. I mean, it's. You know, I'm sure that you guys have talked at length and ad nauseum about the problems of the Gary Johnson campaign, because every libertarian media outlet does, and we certainly have. But at some level, we've got to hire professionals and have consultants do the work of politics that understand how this game is played. Now, that's in the Libertarian Party. And people are going to disagree with me, but they're wrong. And I've worked as a political professional for a long time, and I can just tell you that the Libertarian Party is never going to grow and be effective if it continues to be amateurs, people at the local level who are part of their county party struggling to put round hole in square pegs. I'll do the email newsletter, and they've never done an email newsletter in their life. Well, raise $50 a month and hire a local marketing professional to do that for you. It's such a no-brainer, and it also forces the libertarian movement to stop being so cheap. Everybody wants to do we're libertarians. We don't have any money. It's like, well, then you don't believe in your ideas.
Well, we'll do it ourselves.
Right. Exactly. If you love the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, you need to be a monthly member and give them $5 a month. Same with We Are Libertarians, because that means they're going to have more resources to give you more content, to spread the message more. And it's just important that if you believe in these ideas, then you've got to fund these ideas. And that's a key part of it that we're missing. So to recap, we need professionals. We need people who are devoted full time to growing this as a political movement in every quarter. The reason the think tank world of the libertarian movement is so robust is that it's got great funding.
Isn't that what we loved about Gary Johnson in the beginning? Didn't it seem like he was our libertarian president that was a pro? It was my thought. We were at the convention, and he seemed like a politician that was a libertarian-ish. but my thing was like, hey, you know what? That's what we need. We need a guy who knows a little bit about politics and can act like a politician in the seat, in the room, but he's got our backs. And the problem was it turned out he didn't really have our backs and didn't really have the right idea. But, you know, is that what we need?
He had the dumbest strategy, and maybe we lay this at the feet of his campaign manager and Ron Nielsen. But he had an idiotic strategy from the very beginning. He didn't have a great one in 2012. And I was around in Indiana watching that campaign, you know, held several events for them, met all of them. And I love Gary Johnson. I think he is an honorable man. In 2012, he had just been nominated the presidential nominee. I'm sitting with my state chair, Sam Goldstein, in the back of the room. Gary Johnson walks in with his fiance. And, well, hey, can I sit next to you guys? And like,
that's a down. Pretty good voice.
You do
there.
A pretty good Gary Johnson.
That's pretty
that was
good Gary Johnson there.
And in the back of the room, no pretense whatsoever. We end up having this amazing conversation. And you just, when you spend time talking to Gary, you realize he is everything that he says he is. He's an authentic man. He is a public servant. He is everything that we as libertarians are looking in a man to run for office. You know, and he didn't walk in there like some past candidates would have been like, where's my table on the dais? You know, he was just a very humble guy. Right. The idea that the libertarian presidential candidate would go in and start scouting new territory, it just never made sense that they had these 10 states where we had no infrastructure. Instead of going to a place like Indiana or Florida or California where there are strong state parties and start building on that infrastructure in 2012 and then again in 2016 and focus on states where you're strong and you actually have people, that to me always seemed like a better strategy, not this mealy-mouthed co-president bullcrap. You know, Bill Weld couldn't have been more of a disappointment, and I was supporter of Bill Kahn. I mean, the idea that we're ever going to really, in a significant way, go after the Bernie Sanders left was such a false idea. It's never going to happen. We couldn't have less, except for anti-war, which we all really saw those principles in action when Obama was in the office,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
We just don't have anything in common with them. Well, we're a center-right movement.
The thing is, you're bringing up these things about Gary. And like, again, I've had these long conversations with him. And I agree with you. I think Gary is a good guy. I have nothing against him, like, personally, at all. Like, I've had conversations with him. I just disagree with him philosophically. You know, and if he takes those ideas maybe in office, it may have been bad, I think. I have no doubt in my mind, Gary Johnson is exactly the way he portrays himself on his campaign. Anyways, though, it's Johnny Rocket here at the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, always launching ideas in your direction, America's only rock and roll libertarian radio show. We're talking to Chris Spangle.
Yeah.
From We Are Libertarian.
Woo!
We're going to be right back after this commercial break. Kurt, you got anything?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for asking, Johnny. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is on NWCZRadio.com Fridays 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Saturdays 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. No, it's not. It's on just Fridays, right?
Yeah.
NWCZ is an award-winning radio station that has been going strong for years and has become the Pacific Northwest's most popular internet station to date. Great independent music, interviews, and delivering radio to you 24/7.
Get the fuck out of here. 24/7.
All right. Yeah, I'm leaving.
Go to NWCZ.
You just said get the fuck out of here, so I'm gone.
All right, man.
See you later, bro.
Have a good one. Anyways, I'm Johnny Rocket. We're talking to Chris Spangle. We're going to be right back.
When the
Let me tell you something that really chaps my ass.
Let's talk about the war on drugs. I used to sell a little dope. No big deal. A little bit of pot. Back in the old days. In another country. So there's no statute of limitations on that. I traded an old car for some big boxes of marijuana. And they were, it was like lousy pot. Lots of stems and shit. So I used to cook it on the stove all the time and turn it into oil. But the problem was, the guy who lived in the apartment next to me was a cocaine dealer. And not a very smart one. So he always had the cops chasing him around. So I'm cooking up a batch of my weed oil in the apartment one day, and I look out the window and I see two cops sitting in an unmarked car, just sitting there with their cop haircuts and their sunglasses and their mustaches. And this is back when every cop had a mustache. And I'm like, okay, who has a mustache? Gay porn actors and cops. And these guys probably aren't gay porn actors because their car's too nice. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, you guys look like Freddie Mercury's cum-drenched mustache sitting there with your cop sunglasses on. I'm like, this is bad. I gotta move out of here. So I packed up all my shit, all my weed, my boxes, and I moved out of the goddamn apartment. And then, apparently, a week after I moved out, they raided the place, kicked everybody's door in. And my apartment smelled like the inside of an old bong water jar. So they would have had me in a minute. And for what? Some damn homegrown weed. This is just shit. Now, I'm thinking I'll change the goddamn drug laws. Look at what I got in front of me right here. You see this, Kurt? What do I got in front of me? A pen and a phone. So I'm thinking I'll just write some legislation and enact it myself. Because, you know, I'm tired of waiting. I've waited and I've waited. I'm just going to pick up this goddamn pen, write some shit on a piece of paper, phone somebody and say, the drug war is over. Why? Because I said so. So fuck you. But I guess, oh wait, oh, where's my copy of the Constitution? Oh no, I'm constitutionally prohibited from doing that. Shit, I guess the House of Representatives has to pass a bill. Oh well, fuck, that really chaps my ass.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Claire of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
This is Chris Spangle, and I am the host of We Are Libertarians, which you can find in iTunes, Google Play, or at wearelibertarians.com. We are a podcast that brings you all of the irreverence that modern politics deserves by examining current events from a libertarian perspective. So please, check us out at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Let's be real. There isn't a lot of quality libertarian apparel out there. But thanks to the new Liberty brand, Liberty Industries, you can now call people statist while looking fly as fuck.
With all the new and original art, some of the most comfortable shirts and hoodies on the market, which are American made because America! And get this, these guys are the only Liberty brand that focuses on stylish clothing for both men and women.
And Liberty-loving ladies, this brand is for you, too. There's only one place to grab America by the hoodie. Anytime is the best time to wear a little Liberty in your life. Also, make sure to check out the official Johnny Rocket Launchpad t-shirt.
Go to libertyindustries.us, put in promo code ROCKET to receive 10% off your first order.
Again, that's libertyindustries.us.
Remember to wear a little Liberty in your life. Go to libertyindustries.us.
3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, I'm Remso W. Martinez, the host of the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking, to be exact. This is a pitch for another show. I already listened to too many. But hey, I've got news for you. Each and every Wednesday, you can escape the mindless entertainment and loud political pundits by escaping to the place which truly is the clash of punk rock and politics, the Remso Republic. From comedians to politicians to real-life superheroes and liberty activists, we don't stick to normal often as we hard charge each and every week to bring you the freshest entertainment and news in an ocean of shows fighting for your attention. We're on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and many more platforms. Don't miss out, join the fun, and be awesome.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemsoRepublic.com.
The Lava Flow Podcast is a bi-weekly podcast created by Roger Paxton for The Libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, and agorist communities. The purpose is to entertain and inform anyone who fits within or anyone who is interested in these categories of political thought. The Lava Flow is the first podcast project of Pax Libertas Production, an organization created to help spread the word of liberty and free markets to the four corners of the world. The Lava Flow is a great show that even I listen to. Don't miss an episode. Sign up now. Check out thelavaflow.com.
Here at the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, always launching ideas in your direction, America's only rock and roll libertarian radio show. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Kurt Nelson.
Fucking A, my brother.
And know who we're talking to?
Yes,
we're
sir.
We're talking to Chris Spangle from We Are Libertarians.
Ah, Chris.
Bam.
Hello, fellas. So nice to be with you. A big fan of the show.
I appreciate it, brother.
I love it.
Now we're getting our dick sucked.
You guys have sound effects. It's so professional. It's so unlike ours, where it's just a bunch of drunken idiots sitting around.
Oh no, it's hey, we're a bunch of drunken idiots.
We're plenty drunk and idiot-like.
Yeah, totally, dude. Your show's great, man. I really
Johnny
love
goes
it.
Back sober and puts all those effects in for us.
Yeah, I don't do it drunk, man.
So and he does the final edits to make sure we don't sound too stupid.
I love all the pews and all that good stuff.
Yep, yep.
What we do on the second segment, it's called Rocket Fire. What we do on Rocket Fire, I'm going to ask you 10 questions. These 10 questions will be politically related. And if you can answer these questions between 30 to 60 seconds, I'd be badass. Chris Spangle, are you ready to play?
Yeah, buddy.
Question one.
What things did you like about Gary Johnson, and what things did you not like?
I love his resume. I love that he had a resume, unlike almost all of the other candidates.
That's true.
I loved that he was sane and he didn't murder anybody in, like, Tropicana or somewhere.
Tropicana.
I loved Austin Peterson. I am proudly going to cast my vote for him in 2020. But I felt that Gary Johnson did a great job in 2012 running for office. And I was disappointed in the campaign compared to the 2012 campaign. But I loved the amount of media that he got. I ran a podcast called the Gary Johnson for President podcast where I ripped media interviews and posted them. And in 2012, we had maybe 30 clips over the entire 6 months of the leading up to the campaign. I had probably 30 a week, you know, over the 6 months leading up to the 2016 campaign. Sure, so I loved how much media he got. And I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of people over the next 5 years that we're going to meet in our local parties and meetups going, I'm a libertarian because of Gary Johnson. And I think that the amount of people that hate on Gary Johnson is going to do nothing but deter those new people to the movement. So I love him for that. I hated his strategy. I thought he should have fired somebody after Aleppo. I thought that the campaign was just poorly run.
Right on.
Question two.
Do you think any powers that are given to the individual or entity will expand over time?
Do you mean in terms of what? Explain that to me.
It could be government. It could be anything. It's just a kind of a philosophical question. So anyone who is given a certain amount of power over time, either be a collective or entity, will it grow?
Yeah, I think that's the nature of humanity. I mean, we really are in the golden age of humanity over the last 200 to 300 years where we have this abstract concept called freedom. I mean, the idea of freedom is brand new in the scope of human history. Before that, it was our baser human instincts, and then it was empires with slaves, and now we have this beautiful concept called freedom, and libertarians are the champions of that. But in a lot of ways, we're fighting against human nature, we're fighting against our ancestors, and trying to get people to understand that message. And it is our nature to follow after a strong leader and to want to outsource the pain that we have, the discomfort that we have, to another entity. And I think you look at the Constitution, I think the Constitution is as close to a perfectly written document of freedom, of negative liberties, as we're going to get in human history. And look at how it has expanded over the last 200 and some years to where we're at now, where we have a police state. We have an oligarchy. So I think it's just our nature to go that way.
It's a great comparison.
That's a good one.
Question three.
Do you think government sets up conflicts between laws and rights? And if so, why?
I think the nature of government is conflict altogether. I think that you take something like traffic. So we have the Indianapolis 500 here in Indianapolis, okay? And it's this huge race. It becomes in the top 10 largest cities, there's 500,000 people around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the Sunday before Memorial Day. And it took me an hour and a half to go 500 feet in traffic. And I'm sitting in traffic watching people take turns weaving in and out of traffic. There wasn't a cop there. There wasn't anyone there directing traffic. We all just knew how to do that because we worked together with each other. That spontaneous order that just emerged from two people waving at each other and had a mutual interest. And, you know, there were some people who honked and were dicks, but for the most part, everybody worked together.
Fuck those guys.
Exactly. And the nature of government is that it sets up these barriers so that it takes from one person and gives to another and creates resentment. And it forces people to run to their battle stations to defend their rights. You know, for every conservative politician trying to keep the gays from getting married, it just activates another person on the other side to go and fight for what they perceive as their rights being taken away. And it causes a lot of conflict. And so the government and laws are a dam in the dike. They're a dike in the flow of humanity, and we just need to get rid of all those dykes.
Yeah. You know what? I need to, we need to throw in a spontaneous applause here for two fantastic examples in a row.
By the way, that was, dude, I never expected you to give such a great answer on that one, dude. Awesome.
Thank you.
Question four.
Do you support net neutrality? And if you do, or if you don't, why?
Net neutrality to me is government intrusion into the internet. And I know that that's sort of a weird answer because the government created the internet in a lot of ways. It DARPA and some other government entities funded and the military funded the internet. But the internet now is a virus unleashed on humanity that the government can never control again, hopefully. And I never want to hand over any tools to a government or a world organization that will have the ability to control the internet. I while I do not believe a lot of what Alex Jones says, I listen to Alex Jones regularly because I think he's the greatest comedian working today.
He is pretty good. Yeah.
I was listening to him interview some crazy person in Manchester at some rally. And he's been kicked out of all of these various rallies. And they know where he's going and what he's going to be doing in terms of protesting the British government because they just track all of his internet usage because they think he's a danger. And it's just so easy for the United States government to shut down any government or IP. It's clearly so easy for them to track everything that we do. Like if you get into internet marketing, which is part of my business, your smart TV is feeding back data to advertising servers. And that's why when you watch a commercial, all of the sudden, a Home Depot commercial on TV, you start seeing Home Depot on your device, your tablet, your computer, because your smart TV says, hey, they're watching this Home Depot ad, feed the Home Depot ad to their Facebook feed. And so there's just all this amazing technology that is getting deeper and deeper and a little bit scary for us paranoid people. So net neutrality, I see the conflict and I perfectly understand why anybody would be on the other side of that. And that's, you know, I go back and forth. But for me, I don't want any regulation of any kind of the internet. And I'm not afraid of corporations like a lot of libertarians are.
Question five.
I talk because I have a podcast because I like to talk.
John. It's okay. You're welcome here.
Yeah, it's fine, man. You're just eating up minutes, dude, and that's great because I have no more questions for you after this.
Question five.
Would ending state-recognized marriage expand freedom?
I think we go back to the government shouldn't be regulating marriage in any way, shape, or form. I would prefer to see marriage contracts instead of divorce contracts. Right now what the state does is they bless marriage and then they basically give you the marriage contract set in stone in state code. And what I would like to see is marriage, the government out of marriage altogether, and then each individual couple is then responsible for setting up their marriage contract. Mm-hmm. And I think you'd have a divorce rate that would plummet because when you sit down with a lawyer and you two start crafting your marriage contract, you two really start examining your possessions, your beliefs, your values. And I think a lot of people would decide not to get married after that.
That's true. Let's talk about that after this.
Question six.
Do you think people prefer to earn a living by means of special privilege instead of honest production?
Everybody likes it easy, right? That's why I'm in radio. I don't like to work, you know?
Nah, no one wants to work. Fuck that shit.
You know, I admire my dad and brother who run a construction cleanup company. And, you know, I spent 15 years working for him, scraping concrete floors, paint off of concrete on my hands and knees and unconditioned warehouses. And I just remember being, you know, 20 something going, I got to get the fuck out of here. And so I started to, I bullshitted my way into politics and radio and but even then, it's a talent, it's a skill that you have to develop. So. Yeah, everybody
You're
likes
right,
easy.
You're right, dude. I mean, like right now, I'm like, I want to get out of my fucking job and do this goddamn radio show. And if that's all I could do, I'd be a fucking happy guy, dude.
Right, because you get to sit on the couch for 24 hours a day and beat off instead of actually, you know, interacting with people and having to deal with their bullshit.
That's right.
It's great.
It's podcasting is amazing. And I want to laugh and come.
Well, but all of what you just said is part of our marriage discussion here in a minute too.
Yeah. But you better believe there's some coming written into the marriage contract.
Right.
Oh, man, that's good.
Question 7.
Are unions, political parties, and social movements examples of spontaneous order?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if you look at the labor movement, it's a natural creation of corporations acting as bad actors. And the labor movement was a self-correction that was caused by bad management. And anytime that you have bad actors, human beings are fascinating animals, but we're animals nonetheless, and we have similar patterns. And, you know, that's why even in like the Libertarian Party, you have crippling bureaucracy, because that's where organizations get to after a certain point. And, you know, it's just how humans organize. And that's why I always hate when Libertarian Party people say we're different than Republicans and Democrats. Like, shut the fuck up. No, you're not. You're all, you know, there's cliques, there's power plays. This is politics. This is just human nature. And don't lie to people and say that this is going to be a perfect party, because it's not going to be a perfect party. There's power dynamics at play. And I think that Robert Greene's The 48 Laws of Power and his other books are fascinating studies and historical examples of how power works, how war works, how seduction works. I think every libertarian should read those and try to understand human nature a little bit better, because we're a lot of autistic people and we just don't know how humans interact with each other, because, you know, we get the code in the back of the video game, but we don't get the code that goes into two people seducing each other or fighting.
Question 8.
Do libertarians use wealth that wouldn't have existed without government in order to preach against government intervention?
So you're saying wealth, that like I get my
something wiki. Like you have your wealth because the Federal Reserve, which was established by the government, created a job that you happen to work in, so you have money now. But
yeah,
you, then you preach against it. I'm totally against the statement, but I think it's a question that maybe some progressives would like to ask.
I mean, it's inflated currency, so you
not even about the currency. Fuck the currency. I'm just saying, like, in any position, like, if you have a job and it's a government job, but you hate the state, let's just say you're an anarcho-capitalist, you're preaching against the government, your message is being funded by the government, and their intervention,
Right. So there's two ways of thinking. You know, we all take tax write-offs, I'm sure, and that's, you know, taking safe harbor from the enemy. And I perfectly understand that. But at the same time, I'm a libertarian. I'm not a libertarian because I'm selfish or that I want to be rich. It's quite the opposite, generally. I think libertarianism forces you to be more altruistic, and it certainly has made me poor as fuck. And so,
fucking A, brother.
I spend so much goddamn money on weird libertarians, it's not even funny. But well, I do it because I...
There's no fucking money in this goddamn business.
Right. You're like, give me five bucks, I'll tell you.
It's about it.
I spend 10 to 20 hours a week for no money, you know? But fortunately, we have great listeners that fund everything that we do. But
we do.
So back to the question at hand. I'm a libertarian because I believe that fundamentally the government hurts people. And we have a podcast feed called The Cost. And it highlights 7 episodes that we've done over our 209 episodes that give you real personal stories about government policy and how it has damaged the lives of fellow citizens. And so often you see 100 people interacting with a young woman dying in a prison or a victim of domestic violence. 100 people, it will act out of self-interest and not say a goddamn word to help a fellow human being.
Mm-hmm.
And the government incentivizes that behavior a lot of times and
it does.
Keeps people acting altruistically. I am a libertarian because I don't want those things to happen. I don't want people to get hurt. And I think that for the most part, I mean, everybody, you're not guaranteed to come home at the end of the day. There is no way for us to guarantee safety. The government can't do it. Private security firms can't do it. The fact of life is that we get hurt and we die. And the government is an immoral system that takes from others and improperly and inefficiently gives to other people and sets up systems that hurt others. And so I think that you have to look at your moral system. If you're taking money from the government, you have to look at your moral code and you have to go, where is this coming from? And does this fit my values? Would you walk into another person's house and rob them at gunpoint? Would you recruit a gang to go in and rob them at gunpoint? Yeah, you're not personally pointing the gun, but you're still asking an actor to go in and do it for you.
Sure.
If you don't believe those in your personal life, if you wouldn't hire somebody to do that, you wouldn't do it yourself, then why is it okay for the government to do it? And so I think that you should consider getting into a new line of work.
Question nine.
Is inequality okay?
Inequality just is. I mean, it
exactly.
It's, there isn't. Is inequality good? No. Is inequality bad? Yes. I mean, but inequality exists. If we have a system like the 19, basically any time before now, in the South, black people were not considered human beings. Even once they were considered human beings by their government, they weren't allowed to vote. I mean, it's mind-blowing that in Mississippi in the 60s, no black person was registered to vote in a lot of counties. I think if you read Taylor Branch's books on the civil rights movement, you really see true inequality. And I don't think we appreciate the struggle that Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement really, I mean, it's just the greatest overcoming of systematic inequality and abuse that in human history. It's just fascinating considering that it was very nonviolent. You can never condone systematic inequality. And that's why I'm against the drug war, is that the drug war was specifically started by Richard Nixon to criminalize being black and being a hippie, basically criminalizing being against Richard Nixon. And it set up this system of inequality that we suffer massive effects to today because of it. And so I can't support inequality. I will always fight against inequality, but we have to recognize that not everybody will be equal in outcome, but they all should be equal at the starting point.
Very nice.
Question 10.
Do you think it's important for individuals to display civic virtues that promote the common good?
I think every human being, again, as animals, we see an animal hurting. We want to help that other fellow animal. You see that all across the animal kingdom. That's why we talk a lot about private charity on We Are Libertarians, because private charity is something that is a natural outcome of the human experience, and it enriches the human experience. And to hand over our money to the government and then expect them to fix the ills of society is dehumanizing for not only the people receiving the help, but also the people giving the money. Because when you interact with a charity and you volunteer your time, you are enriched. That person is enriched. The charity is enriched. As opposed to the government system where DCS is a complete joke. You know, that talk about the most sacred of cows, the Department of Children's Services, if you hear in episode 144 of We Are Libertarians, is one of the most evil institutions on the planet. And
interesting.
That's supposed to be the most charitable of all the organizations. So, yeah, it's we shouldn't virtue signal, you know, which is basically saying one thing and then never doing anything about it. But if you're a giving person, then you should promote the charities that you care about and the causes that you care about.
Have you seen the DonorSee app?
I have not.
Brett Gleiler.
Yeah, we had him as a guest a few shows ago.
Yeah, that's the Mark Claire guy,
yeah.
Right? The Line of Liberty. Yeah, we're
going to talk. No, he's the goddamn Johnny Rocket Launchpad guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that guy too.
just kidding. Well,
Mark is where I first heard about it, and I think that's awesome, and I think we're going to talk soon if we haven't already, and
should.
I just missed
it. I mean, you should tell him, he's awesome. I mean, he's actually, like, he's the Uber of donating to people in need. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
And you're like, if you give him $5, you could see, like, exactly where that money goes. You get, like, a video. Like, your $5 bought this guy a house.
That's amazing.
It didn't really buy him a house.
Or his,
but it didn't go in somebody else's pocket. That's
right.
The thing.
No, that's the thing. But, like, your $5 gave him at least the door in his house. Right. You know?
I mean, he's got a couple of hinges or something.
Yeah, something like that. You know, it's there's cheaper. So many,
yeah, I work with Rupert's Kids, which is a great charity by Rupert Bonham, the survivor guy, who helps take kids out of the system. And he's working in this town called Shelbyville. Here, it's a small town, and he takes kids out of the criminal justice system who have horrible, shitty lives and no parental guidance whatsoever, because their parents are drug addicts and shitheads. And he takes them and puts them to work, gets them a place to live. He puts them to work rehabbing houses and things that are off the tax rolls in the town of Shelbyville that are just vacant properties. He rebuilds them with the kids from the criminal justice system, flips the houses, makes money for his program, puts that back on the tax rolls for the city. The kids get work, they become productive members of society. And his rate is like 90% graduation rate, which is phenomenal. You know, and there's a guy who's doing economic development for almost no money for a city. And he can't get funded. He can't get anybody. He doesn't take government money. And it's so goddamn hard to raise money. So
I'm going to have to tell my kids about that guy, because my kids have shitty parents who are drug addict fucking assholes. So I'm writing this down right now so that I can send it to my kids and maybe he can help them.
Like your kids, the people from your balls.
From my balls. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Poor kids.
And it was like a rocket fire and the end of the show. Fuck.
It's all right. We still have the fucking after party.
We do have the after party. So if you guys like the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, please check us out here at the Launchpad, and you can hear the extra shit, right? The extra interview. Extra poop. Yeah. The extra poop here at the Launchpad after party. And if you can go to johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com/backstage-pass, check us out. You're going to hear more of the amazing Chris Spangle from We Are Libertarians. Chris, you got any websites, information you want to plug in?
Plug it.
Go ahead, man.
Oh, do.
Oh, I know you do.
We Are Libertarians. Oh, I love to self-promote. We Are Libertarians is on, just look us up on anything. I make sure that we're on every platform. We're on Snapchat. We're on at We, the letter R, Libertarians. WeAreLibertarians.com. You find us, put us in your podcatcher. We're on every podcatcher except Spotify, but that's because they're English bastards. But
well, they're douches,
So please download our program. It's as irreverent. We call it all of the irreverence modern politics deserves, and it's like the National Review and Mad Magazine have a baby, and it's us. So please check it out.
It's a great show. It really is. It's wonderful, man. And Chris, it was an honor to have you here, man. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Chris.
And we're going to talk at the after party here, so we're going to probably go on for a little while.
If you thought we were drunk now.
Wait until the after party.
Yeah.
And Chris Spangle will be drinking his 40 ounces of water.
All 40 of it.
All 40 ounces of the H2O, motherfucker. Anyways, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. And again, make sure you check him out. And I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Kurt Nelson.
Hey, thank you, Johnny. And people, I want you to do one thing real quick. I want you to go to your device, whether it be a computer, a phone, a tablet, a fucking BlackBerry, so whatever you got, man. Open up your search engine, whatever that be, Google or Dogpile or fucking Bing or
Safari.
Whatever your fucking thing it is. And I want you to type in Johnny Rocket Launchpad. And whatever pops up, Johnny Rocket Launchpad, .com, us on iTunes, whatever pops up, click on it. And go there, check us out, listen to some episodes, listen to some back episodes, check out the what Johnny just said, the after party, and like us on Facebook.
Yeah, it's like $5 a month, you cheap bastards.
Yeah, do it, man. Everyone's doing it.
All right, anyways, though, we're talking to Chris Spangle. Give it up.
Yeah.
Anyways, though, Chris. Johnny Rocket at the Launchpad, launching ideas, and we'll see you goddamn next week. Bye.